In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
For unto you a child is born, to you a son is given. Tonight, this Christmas Eve, we remember something that is oh so simple. It happens every day, the birth of a baby. However, tonight, we also remember something that, while simple, is yet at the same time quite profound. It will happen only once. It has happened only once in human history. This night, the Almighty God, who created the heavens and the earth, is cradled in the arms of His mother. This night, God is born a child. But it was not just the birth of a child, of another baby, that caused the heavenly host to sing and the shepherds to bow in reverence and humility. It was the very birth of the eternal Son of God made flesh. The promise had lain dormant for many, many generations, but as we heard, Isaiah foretold it. He speaks here of the future as he sees it already happening. The child in the manger, lying in these clothes, Jesus. He speaks, Isaiah, of the hour of our deliverance. That is, for to us a child is born. So what one day will be is already in the sight of God there. It has happened. The voice of Isaiah then rings throughout our centuries as we confess this holy night that to us a son is given. And we now join, as we already have, our evening prayers and holy hymns to that glory of choirs immortal. For fulfilled this night is the simple promise that bursts with hope and joy. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. But one of the endearing questions for us, especially in our age, is how shall we think of such a child? Will our frantic feet that have been soiled in what is now seemingly a busy cult of our generations impede us to kneel before this child? Has our head become so full of all the social media and all the mayhem that occurs in our life and glued to these entertainment screens of all sizes hinder our head from bowing in humility before this gifted salvation? Can we not put aside all the stress and all the struggle, our sense of importance, our ego, and worship as the beggars that we are? Humbled by this foolish wisdom of God to come like a child, born of a virgin? Can we not be, as we will hear later in the church here, aged Simeon, who is waiting for the fulfillment of the salvation of Israel? And in his arms he lifts up the child, and he saw this fulfillment, who saw the dawning of his very joy, hope, and life in the flesh of this child. Given our track record as sinners, likely not. However, God is born into the midst of our sin. That is what we call grace. For though we will not this night, we are thus nonetheless benefactors of this gifted and holy and eternal night. The Son of God, this child birthed by the Virgin Mary, guarded by Joseph, comes all the way down into the depths of our sin. He comes to the places that we never thought that He would, nor would we ever want Him to see. He comes not to battle airtime or your emotional time with Santa Claus or Bing Crosby, but to slay our bitter enemies of sin, death, and the devil. The enemies of sin and death that we often try to conceal, especially at this time of year. He comes to Bethlehem, literally called the house of bread. After all, he is the only bread of life that is for us dying and dead in this life. His body and his blood will be our food. The cookies and the milk and the candy and the fruit that sags the stockings that are singed by the fireplace. The feast prepared, as you can already taste in your mouth for Christmas morn. All of it must take a backseat to this poor house of bread, of this wafer and wine that you shall eat. For beneath our eyes, and known only by faith, these crumbs and these drops of wine that fall from the altar of our infant priest, these are the promises of grace and the assurance and pledge of our resurrection unto the heavenly peace of God. And God's Son does not see his work to redeem us as being demeaning of him. He sees this not as grudging work. You are the joy of the Christ Mass, for Christ comes to be your joy. You are the joy that is set before him this night, as he is a tender shoot lying in a manger in mean estate, only to grow up into a tree of life for you. Again, he is born for you. He is given to you, that you would know him, and that you would love him, that you would listen to him, and that you would rejoice in him, and hang your entire life upon his word and his flesh, that was born for you, to raise you sons and daughters of the earth, and give you all a second birth by your holy baptism. Mary's infant son, the Son of God, begotten of the Father from eternity, he has your entire life in his hands. And so tonight we take our place beside the animals and the shepherds and the angels, and we wonder with Isaiah at this wonderful counselor. What wonder it is that the kind of love that God would come down to earth for his creatures, that the Creator would stoop down to his creation. We wonder what kind of love would cause such a thing to happen. What kind of love would do this for a world that knew him not or did not care about him at all? That God's love at Christmas should always amaze us. For in God, the wonder of all wonders occurs. God has become like us so that we might become like he is. This wonder who sought Adam and Eve out after they had sinned now seeks us out not to punish us, not to accuse us of our sins, but rather to counsel us in his love, to be our brother, to forgive our sins, and to be our life in the shadow of death. Weak and frail as we are by the days of this earthly travail, we fall down before this mighty God. In the child born of Mary dwells the Almighty God. Here this night, he is poor like us, wretched like us, helpless like us. And yet he is mighty God. Where is the divinity of this child, you ask? Where is the power of this child, you ask? It is in the divine love by which the Son of God becomes as we are. His pitiable condition in the manger that night and all our nights is his very power hidden in weakness. In the power of the divine love that no man understands, here he is, overcoming sin and death that separates the creature from the Creator. And he does this by these mighty tools of weakness. There is that creche, and there is that cross, and then there is that stone that is rolled away. Orphaned at our conception, we seek the Father's love. We seek his gentle and worded embrace that characterized our first parents' relationship with our Heavenly Father. And here this night we have been searched out by the child who is named Everlasting Father. Think about that. He is called Everlasting Father. How could this child be named Everlasting Father? Unless it is that this child bears the everlasting love of the Father. That the everlasting fatherly love of God is given to us in this child. The child is named Jesus for a reason. For he will do nothing other than bring to us the love and the forgiveness of the Father to earth. In this way, the Father and the Son are one. He who sees the Son, therefore sees the Father. The child will do nothing of himself, but only the Father's will. He's not some mutant child with divine powers that he hides and then he uses at particular times. He is true God and true man, obedient child of the Father's will that he be born for you and given to you. Tonight, his birth brings eternity to earth. And as the Son of God, Jesus brings all the love of his heavenly Father. Thus, to behold Jesus in the manger is to see the very everlasting love and redeeming promise of the Father. And where the love of the Father comes down through the incarnate Son, there peace is established among all. In Jesus we behold the Prince of Peace. So peace lies in a manger. Peace is forged at a cross. Peace is a tomb taken or is broken open, excuse me. For the secret of peace is far less secretive than we often think it is. For as you may well know, peace isn't a thing. Peace isn't a feeling. Peace isn't even something that you could achieve through your blood and your sweat in this life, or even if you tried to freeze a moment of time and say, there is peace. No. Tonight and all your nights, peace is a person. Peace is Jesus, and the gifts that flow from this Jesus are peaceful. For his gifts give you peace in the midst of a world that has gone completely nuts and mad. In all the senseless acts of the sinful flesh that are carried out, that we see and we do, and in the shadow of our death that looms over us all, peace is established by Jesus. Jesus is alone our peace before God, and only in him can we rest our heads securely, knowing that our entire life is in the hands of this peaceful God. That our tombs are a trumpet away from being burst open unto this immortal and eternal life that we are promised, this kingdom of peace. That all is right in heaven and on earth when we depart his altar from he who is Prince of Peace. So tonight, we remember something that is very simple, that a baby was born. And yet something that is very profound, that God was born into flesh for us. The two natures of Christ serve not for our speculation, but for our comfort. That he is both our Lord and our brother. That he is both our God and our Savior. His wonderful counsel, love, and comfort is far too deep for one Christmas Eve. Yet the host of heaven rejoices that you are here tonight to receive the forgiveness of your sins, life, and salvation from this humble house of bread. For though he is the mighty God of all things, he descends into our weak and lowly flesh, not to show off, not to point out our sins, but to die in dereliction, mightiness that is veiled in weakness. He is the victim of our sin and our death, and we are the victor over our sin and over our death. So through Jesus we know then the everlasting love of the Father, protecting us from all evil and guarding and defending us from all Satan's wiles. The names Isaiah gives to the infant Savior, they begin in the past, they advance us to the present, and they end in the far future. There is reverence and there is awe in these names as they call forth our trust, giving to us a mighty God who descends in love and grace to us this Christmas Eve. I might well say to you that in these names that Isaiah gives to the infant priest, nothing greater can be pointed out than this reality, that through these names, God is not just somewhere up there or out there, but that He is here in this place, in the house that He has built for His people to forgive them their sins, and that they might have the certainty that they are forgiven and that they are placed in the heavenly peace of God, both here and forever, in His church. Behold, for you a child is born, a son is given. You shall find Him. But where shall you find Him? At the font, in the water of His word, in His church, where His pastors absolve you of your sins, and finally on the altar where His body and blood are given to you to eat and to drink. That, my beloved Christian, is the Christmas which we celebrate, which we rejoice in this Christmas Eve. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen. Amen.